as far as the creation.
Yes.
But as far as continuing on, he needs our help. See, he wasn't just spoon-feeding Adam and just spoon-feeding him. No, Adam had to get up. And what do you want this morning, Adam? Well, he had to go find it off of that tree, off of that plant. And in the process, God was ministering to him, loving on him, having fellowship. But see, faith is an action. So, Brother Jesse in his magazine that comes out, and you can order this, it's free, he'll send it to you, Jesse Duplantis. This was said about John D. Rockefeller, Sr. Who was he? Somebody rich. Somebody knows. We're talking about you now. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you rich. No, very rich. Not just in a relationship, but in cattle, possessions, gold, silver. Jesse speaking here says, I once watched a program on the Discovery Channel about John D. Rockefeller Sr. At one time, he owned almost one-fifth of the total wealth of America. One-fifth. Most people thought he was in the oil business, but actually he was in the refinery business. But he actually, and he knew there were people punching oil, and he figured the oil wouldn't do much good unless somebody refined it into gasoline and kerosene. The government thought he was worth too much, so they passed antitrust laws to break up his business. Standard Oil was broken into smaller companies like Exxon, Esso. See, I didn't know. I didn't know this. The government don't tell you. God will. He'll show you things to come. He says, you know what happened? He got richer and richer. This is after the government tried to get in there and make him poorer and poorer. Rockefeller said, it matters, Mark 11:23, what you say. The reason I've got money is because God blessed me. Amen. Not the U.S. government. God, Jehovah, blesses me. The only reason I have anything is because I'm a tither and a giver. Amen. See, he knows where his finance, he knows where it comes from. He knows where the flow comes from. People always said, look how much money you've made. You know how Rockefeller responded? No. You're looking at it all wrong. It's not an issue of how much money I've earned. Let me show you how much money I've saved. Amen. So he's not looking at what he's making. He's looking at what he's saving. God taught this man about sowing and reaping. And his son, Rockefeller Jr., was called philanthropist. That's a big word. I can say it in tongues. He tried to give all the money. Tried to give all the money away. But he couldn't get it out of his house. The more he gave, the more God blessed him, 30, 60. Talk about your offering, what you just did this morning. He had an understanding of tithing and giving. And it went down generation to generation to generation. They'll never be able to give it all away. Think about it. The government of the United States tried to stop the flow, and God just made them richer. Amen? If you'll start where you are, God will start where he is. You can live your life like the rich young ruler and keep all you have, or you can give back to God your offering of compassion and receive the blessings of Abraham. That's what you did this morning. Amen. You did it by faith. Don't look to the stock market. Don't look to the treasury, to what you see on Wall Street. There's another street you need to look to. The street that's paved with gold. And value the king of that city, and he'll value and honor you here in this earth. Amen. That's the promises of God. I just wanted to add that. I want to make sure I didn't leave that out of the offering this morning. And I'm believing too, if you've sowed in the offerings past and didn't know that, you can still believe that. That's right. See, it's still in the earth. That money's still in the earth. Your seed is still in the earth. Call it forth of the maker that made heaven and earth. God knows where it's at because he wants us to be a good steward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. K Kelsey started with a testimony. I'm going to ask my wife and Ruthie to come up. This is not pre-rehearsed, but I'd ask you to come up. I need to say that again. Come up. Miss Tammy, you got to give them the microphone. This is going to go right along with the message, and they don't know it. But, you know, we've been on vacation a couple of Sundays, went to the beach, our family tradition. Ruthie's playing softball, and I just want to give her a little testimony of what you've done as far as your commitment, and just kind of share what God, how that kind of came about, or share your heart on your commitment.
All right. Is it on? Well, the beginning of the season, I had my heart set on one college. It was up in Tennessee. It was Lincoln Memorial University. And I was really, my mom, we signed up for a camp, and I was going to go there, and I was like, I had my heart set, and I was like, I really want to go here, and I was going to commit. Well, I liked about the family part of it. When I went there, it was like everybody was part of a family. There were no, like, divisions or anything. The coach was all funny, and she was like, I could see the chemistry she had with her girls. So I really enjoyed that. And so that's where I wanted to be, was a place where I knew that I'd be in a family. And then coming up, like, literally the few days before we were about to go up, we figured out the whole coaching staff got fired from that school. And so it was kind of a setback. We have no idea what's going on or what happened. So that was like a setback. And I was so confused, and I didn't know I didn't have any other schools. I was like, I have to restart. I was in like a little bit of panic mode. But then then one of my coaches on my team mentioned a limestone college, which was because his daughter's going. And he was like, you know, I've always been talking to her about you. He goes, and I put in a good word for you. So I was like, well, thank you. And so turns out I go to a limestone camp, and I enjoy it, just like I enjoyed going to Lincoln Memorial. And I toured the campus, and I loved everything about it. And then I went to another camp, and I got looked at by UNC Wilmington, and they wanted me to come down and see how it was. So that was during our beach trip is when we did that. So I went down to Wilmington, and I didn't really get the connection that I was looking for, like I did at Limestone, between the coaches and me. I didn't feel the chemistry. And I really had to, like, think about it. And, like, I was asking, I was like, where is my heart set? And I had to look deep down. And then the next day I woke up and I just knew it was Limestone. And then I committed there that day. So, yep.
See, now that was Ruthie's heart. Now, she committed verbally. She hasn't signed on a dotted line, you know. There's a time process there, so she still, they could be made offers, but she's looking in her heart. And Sherry doesn't know, but about your teaching position. Just a testimony of what God is doing, has done, is going to do.
Well, I know the members of the church that's been here a while knew that, I guess a couple years ago, I lost my preschool teaching job at one church, and I just knew God had me a job. I wanted it quicker. I would like to have had it immediately, but I was looking around, and I wanted a church preschool because that's my heart, teaching the children about God first. So I knew I wanted a church preschool, and I wanted it in the same area that goes along with my children's school, so that when they're off, I'd be off. But that narrows the group way down, and those preschools usually have rarely any openings. Last year I was blessed to be able to get in as an assistant to a preschool, and I really, really love this preschool. And I enjoyed being an assistant, but I got a phone call when I got back from vacation, and she asked me if I wanted a lead teaching position, and I said, yes, yes, yes.
So at the beach, you said, well, you know, because I haven't heard, I don't know if I have a job, when nobody's contacted me.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, you really didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, because it depends upon the enrollment. As you know, if the children are there, then the teaching positions are there. If not, you're not guaranteed. So I didn't even know if I was going to have a assistant's position. But I was blessed when I got back to get a lead teaching position. So I'm excited to start a new year teaching there. So, praise God.
That is good. Johnny on the spot, right? You just, my family, they know me. They're good at just giving testimonies of what God is doing in our life. And I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for God.
Yes.
What He's doing.
Yes.
What He's doing. Amen?
Yes.
The title of today's message, and it just kind of went, I didn't really have a title as I was just, the Lord was just ministering to me of what He wanted to speak to you this morning, but I aim to please God.
Yes.
I aim to please God.
Amen.
Okay? That should be your whole focus in life. Not to please your boss or your employer. I don't like to call them boss, call them employer. Not to please your pastor. Not to please your husband. Not to please your wife. Your number goal, like Sherry was taught, keep God first. I aim to please God. Do that, and you'll please your wife. You'll please your husband. You'll please your employer. And in the process, you'll be blessed. Amen?
Yes.
It's that simple. But it's not that easy, right? Because we got an enemy out there of our souls. That's the devil. And he works, just like God, through people. See, God doesn't control your life. He's there to direct you and point you. Now, if you let Him in, He'll be the ruler of your life. He'll be the king of your life. But He's going to have your support. Amen. The devil don't. You let the devil in and he'll run, rule, destroy your life. That's what he comes to do. But you have authority over him. We have authority over him in Christ Jesus. Because a lot of times he doesn't ask to come in. If there's a little crack, he's going to come in. That's the devil. That's the thief. That's what he does. God didn't create him that way. He, evil, pride was found in his heart, and he became that way. He tried to destroy the way. Remember we talked about the way a couple weeks ago? Jesus is the way, the journey, the road back home. And the devil's in there trying to get us off of that path, off of that way. And he's done a pretty good job at it through the centuries. See, because he's a spirit being, talking about Lucifer, talking about the devil. He's no longer Lucifer. His name changed to Satan. He's a spirit being. He doesn't have a body, but he has to operate through a body in this earth. Because that's the way God set it up. And if we don't allow him access to our body, he has no domain in our life. Just as simple as that. He wants to paint this picture that he is God of this earth. Well, he is, if you let him be. Because of Christ, Jesus set us free from his domain, from the devil's domain, when Jesus went on that cross.
Amen.
We're not going to talk about the authority, but that's all in the authority of the believer. Come to Wednesday night, Bible study. Miss Tammy's taking us, and we're tag teaming, going through the Holy Spirit and his gifts. And the anointing is there. The teaching that we can't quite give here on Sunday morning goes over to Wednesday night, Wednesday evenings. 7 to usually 9, 9:30. It just depends on how much God wants to get going that night. But Reed, he brings us watermelon. There was watermelon there after the service. It just depends on how long you want to stay. Amen. I had me 2 pieces. That means somebody else left without a piece. I had 2. And that was your fault. I don't like things going. I mean, it was a ripe melon. It was ready, wasn't it, Reed? Had to cut a little bit out because it was a little overripe. So we had to get rid of that thing quick. It was time. Aim to please God.
Amen.
We're going to be coming out of Proverbs. 16, but as I was at the beach, the Lord gave me this. Our president made a decision in the military, and I thought it was, yes, sir, about transgenderism in the military. Well, you know, everything he does is taking heat. But the Lord gave me a scripture, and I prayed for my president when I heard about that. Because we're instructed to pray, whoever is the leader of our country, to pray for all men in leadership, whether they're serving God or not, so that God can work in the earth. See, we've got to obey God. And this is the scripture he gave me. Proverbs 16. Let me get there. I've got some in front of me, but I need to be there with you guys. You know, Sherry was giving that testimony. Maybe I need to get there before I start talking. I have a bad habit of being in the wrong place in my Bible. But as Sherry was giving that testimony that, you know, she was an assistant teacher, I thought about Joshua. Well, he was an associate pastor at one time until Moses went on to higher things. See, Moses is still alive. He just went on higher. He led the people as far as he could go. And then Joshua came up. So see, she was an assistant teacher, but now she's the Moses. She's the Joshua now. She's the lead teacher. She has the vision now to teach, to put the foundation of the Word of God in these three-year-olds so they'll go out and build the kingdom. Because the world's not going to train them like the kingdom of God's going to train them. Amen? It's going to prepare them for the world. That's what the Word does. It prepares us for the world. So we'll be know which college to go to when I get to be 18. I'm not led by what I see. All my, the whole staff is gone. But God never changes. Amen. He's got your future. And it's in His hand. But to see it, you've got to let Him have it. For you to see it, you've got to let Him have it. So He can direct your steps. See, He has your future, but He needs your cooperation for you to get there. Right. Amen. Proverbs 16, 1 through 13, and I'm still not there yet. I'm getting there, Luke. As I was down at the beach, let me read this. By mercy and truth, we're going to read it all, but by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, He'll make even his enemies to be at peace with Him. And see, our president has a lot of enemies. A lot of enemies. He's very rich. Envy, jealousy. That makes a lot of people mad at people. But see, God has a plan for this man. He's our president now. He's our leader. And a lot of things, my prayer is a lot of these high places that have been in operation, high places of Baal in the Old Testament, be torn down, because the Bible says when the righteous are, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in rule, the city mourns. I'm rejoicing because righteousness is prevailing. See, we don't have to be with the flow of the world, because see, what is it, the trout, when they go to spawn, they don't go with the flow, they go back. They go against the flow to get to where they came from, to have other trout fish. So we're going back. This nation's going back. It was founded on the Word of God. And that's where we've got to get back to. And it's going to take men like Donald Trump that don't care what the world or the government's got to say, but what God says. Because see, he has nothing to lose. If they kick him out, he ain't lost anything. He's got money. We need his wisdom. That's what the world needs. They need the wisdom of God. And it's not just coming from Donald. It's coming from those that God is picking and putting around him. Amen? And as I prayed that, I said, that's it. That's the scripture. I'm praying that over my nation, for my president. And then I sat down with the table with the kids, one of our devotions that maybe Tuesday, Wednesday morning. And I took this scripture. I said, we need to apply that to our everyday life. When our ways please the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, He'll make even my enemies be at peace with you. Be at peace with you. And we've been going down to this place. Pastor Jim has blessed us with this place at Ocean Isle Beach for, gosh, 15 plus years now. I had yet to make it to a beach service, Sunday morning beach service on the beach. because it's right down there at Ocean Isle Beach. It's got a big cross. They have a Oceanside service from 8:30, and then they have from 8 to 8:30, and then they take it to the chapel. So this pastor, and I found out they have visiting pastors every Sunday. It's somebody different. But this pastor's got to preach the word out there on the sand with the sun coming up, wind blowing, he's sweating, his Bible verses are blowing everywhere, because this is what I've seen Sunday. And he's got a sound, man. They were playing, they had a couple praise songs, nice little sound system sitting out there, one speaker that sounded good out there on the beach. Sing a few songs, you bring your chairs. Me and Kelsey found out you do bring your chairs. If not, you got to stand up for about 30 minutes. So we did. I took my old camping chair, had my Bible, and got to teach real quick, because you got to go from 8 to 8:30, and then you got to be at the chapel at 9. And you got to get in your car and go up there. So it was, he had a powerful message. And it's dealing a lot with what God showed us here, as he was looking and ministering, and then he would stop, and I know it was the Holy Ghost. And he said, this is what really ministered to me. He said, there are people out here in the world that are hungry for God, that want to know that he is real. And I looked at Kelsey and I said, "This is, we've got to show people God is real. He's a real being. He's a real person. And he's got a real motive and hearts and compassion. And he wants to manifest. Manifest means that he wants himself to be made known. How he can work in your body, heal your body, bless your children, bless your marriage. You just got to believe. You can't see it and then believe it. You got to believe it and then see it. That's how he reveals himself to you. And he's not going to reveal himself to you through a lie. It's got to be through his word. And when you get into the Bible, don't think of this as a book. Think of it as a person. This is a person. It's God speaking to you. And you get in there, and then your eyes, not these eyes, but the eyes of your heart, start to see God. And then it starts coming in your body. Things start happening. Favor of God starts working. Blessings. Your finances start going up instead of down. Can I get a weak amen? Up's good. Up is good. And he ministered that to me. And then getting toward the end, he taught pretty much invitation to those that didn't know Jesus. It was a powerful message. He never took up an offering. And the Lord said, what do you got to give? So he didn't have, maybe he didn't have time there. Maybe he did it up there. But I was already looking. I took my wallet. Even when I go to the service on the beach, you know, I pay $5 for one of them lemonade slushies out there. Surely I could give the man of God at least $5. Surely. I gave him all I had. I'm not going to tell you how much I had. I'm not going to tell my wife how much I had in my wallet. But I gave him all that I had. I opened it up, and that's whatever was in there, I gave it all. I stuck it in my hand as I was walking up there. And he was talking to a few young guys. Ruthie should have came with us. They were some pretty good-looking young guys talking about college. I didn't get their names, but maybe we'll go next. You have to get up early next year and go down there. They might have been going to Limestone. I don't know. But they were looking sharp, dressed, had their hair fixed, and they was. And I had my hand, and I handed it to him, and I said, he gave a message on about the little boy had a little bit of lunch, and Jesus took it and blessed it. And I said, here, take this, and this is a little bit for your lunch. Lord, bless it, multiply it. And he held on to my hand. He said, I saw you sitting out there. He says, you're a minister, ain't you? And I said, yes, sir, and just shortly told him where I was from. See, faith can be seen. The Spirit of God on the inside of you can be seen. And that just ministered to me that he picked me out of the crowd and said, you're a minister. All of you, if you've received Jesus, you are a minister of the gospel. We're called, you're a servant to serve others. Just whatever God gives you, serve it to them. Your minister is one that's sent. You're called. So that was a blessing. And I said, I'm going to make this a tradition. I'm going back next year. See, all those years I missed that little special word that God had for all those that would come. If I wasn't there, guess what? The seagull heard it. That bird got it. That bird got my word. The early bird gets the worm. That's what, you know, these little things. There's been a lot of birds that's been blessed because I wasn't there. And they heard that word. Man, they got some big fish out there. I'm sure they went, you know. God never goes on vacation. Wow. Praise God. Amen. That's a good word. But he'll let the pastors go, right? But the pastors can go on vacation. Sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks. Amen. Amen. Good word. We got to aim to please God. And I'm going to aim to get through this message today. Maybe. But I want you to hear what God wants you to hear. We need to go read verses 1 through 13. Proverbs 16, 1 through 13. Says, the preparations of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, or you could say the heart. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works. What is the works that we're supposed to do? What did Jesus say are the works? Believe. Because they asked Jesus, Jesus, what can we do to inherit? What can we do? What can we do? Jesus said, just believe. That's the works. Believe I am God's Son. He sent me. And believe all the words I've told you are from God. That's the works. Commit yourself to the Word right there. And your thoughts, what you're trying to figure out on this situation, they will be established. It'll be the right thoughts. The Lord has made all for Himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Talking about the wicked. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, you depart from evil. When a man's ways or woman's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord will direct his steps. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. I'm going to stop right there. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace. What are the ways that please the Lord? What kind of ways please our Heavenly Father? Proverbs 16:9 says it right here. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You've got to let God in your plan. You've got to let God in your thoughts for them to be his thoughts. See, we're out here, our heart's devising our way, but then the Lord will direct your steps. There's all kind of ways I could go on this situation, on this job deal. It could go all kind of ways. Incline your ear to the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your step. He'll direct it. Now, if you acknowledge Him, He's going to direct it. You do it by faith. And it might be, you might do it unexpectedly, do the will of God, just by acknowledging Him. Amen? You don't have to understand faith, just believe faith. You don't have to understand all this, just believe. God's good at manifesting how it comes to pass. The time frame, let that be in His hand. Amen? What kind of ways please our Lord? Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 55:6-13 says this, talking about what kind of ways please our Father. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for God will abundantly pardon. He'll abundantly pardon. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what Jesus did. You're free. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you believe on Him and receive His forgiveness, you're free from that act. That's faith in the Lord Jesus and His atonement. Amen? That means you've got to forget it too. If they did that evil to you and God forgave him or her, you forgive so that God can answer your prayer. Amen. It ain't that God don't hear that prayer, but if you stand in unforgiveness, he can't answer it. It's taking him longer. Forgive quickly while you're in the way. You don't want to stand before the judge here on this earth. The old devil, he's the god of this earth. See, he's already been judged. We don't want to come underneath condemnation. We want to walk in the Spirit, and we won't reap the lust of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
See, we're born again. We're saved. Don't think the Christian life is evil can't come your way. That's being deceived. No, trouble is going to come. But depend on who you know and where you stand, is your house going to stand or is it going to get washed away? If you're founded on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, when the trouble comes, you'll stand and you'll confess and believe, and your house won't be blown away. But you can't keep the trouble. Trouble's going to come. The devil, as long as he's here and loosed on this earth, he's got all kind of things he's doing. But I remember in the wilderness, back in Egypt, when it was dark in Egypt, the light was on in God's house. The people, they had light. That's impossible. Not with God. Amen? If a storm hits and the whole street goes out and you was cooking supper, God can keep your power bill going. He'll keep your oven cooking. You got to believe that, though. You can't say, well, the whole block's out. I guess we next. No, you got to believe and trust God. Believe for the miraculous. Amen? That's just little things. For my thoughts, still in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven, and snow from heaven, and it returns not, but it waters the earth, and maketh forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. God said that for a reason. As that rain comes down and waters the earth and causes it to bring forth, so shall my word be that's going out today into your heart, into your garden. That's the earth. Gets into your heart. That's the earth. It shall not return to him empty or void. You're going to bring forth fruits of righteousness, love, joy, peace, blessing, healing in your wings. This is promises of God. If you let that rain, don't put the umbrella up when God's raining on you. That's time to shut the umbrella and, Lord, let it rain on me. I'm talking about his rain and his blessing. You've got to give, but then you've got to receive his blessings. If somebody wants to bless you, let them bless you, because what you're doing is you're keeping the flow going. Man, when God's raining, I want to be, pour it on me, Lord. God of heaven. But when the devil starts, the God of this world start trying to bring the curse. Now that's when you put your umbrella up. Psalms 91. Shall not come near me. I put my shield of faith up. Evil ain't going to come near me. Uh-uh. I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. That bank account's telling you a tale. Amen. That ain't who I am. I'm going up. I got people that I got to bless. And I like the next verse, for you shall go out with joy. Go out with joy and be led with peace, forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth. Remember Jesus coming in on that donkey? And they was praising and worshiping him. And the religious people, now see, they're in the world, the religious people, when they see you get blessed, if they're not happy, they're religious. I said, when you get blessed and people see you and they get angry, they're religious. I ain't saying they're not saved, but they got a religious spirit right there. They should be shouting for joy.
Yeah.
Be saying, I'm next. Get close to that person. Hey, I want to be around somebody that's getting blessed. I want to be happy with them. Because I'm next.
Amen.
Man, partner up with that person. Joy. Joy. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will. I don't want the rocks to get my praise. I want to praise Jesus. Amen. Take the rock, pick it up, and throw it at the devil. That's what it's designed for.
Right.
It took out Goliath, didn't it?
Yeah.
What's your giant? Get your rock out. Don't just take one. Take five or seven. David had more than just one rock. Why did he have more than one rock? You think he was going to miss? No, Goliath had some brothers about as big as he were.
Yeah.
I think David said, I'm taking five more rocks. I'm taking five. I got one for Goliath. Somebody else come, I'll hit them too. Because usually, no brother, blood is thicker than water. If you go fight somebody's brother, next thing you know, you got the whole family coming after you. David was ready. Ready. They didn't come either, did they, Reed? Cut his head off. Man. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Joy come with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Can trees of the field clap their hands? That's what the Bible says they can. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be for the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign. It shall not be cut off. When God blesses you, that's what it's for, is to bring honor to God. Glory to God. Somebody asks you, you driving a nice car. Let me tell you how I got it. God's been good to me. Let me tell you where I used to be 15 years ago when I was not driving a good car. Amen. I owed, so off to work I go. God changed my song. He changed my song. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus gave me a life to live. Now I go off to give. Amen. Go out giving. It's a whole lot better than working. Now you work to give. Amen. You don't work to get an income, you work to get seed.
Yeah.
I work to get seed.
Yes,
we didn't have to work to get seed in the garden. I mean, you had to work to go get it, but you didn't have to work to have it. You didn't have to work. It was already given to you. It's still there. The blessings of God have not disappeared off of this earth. Somebody got in the way. The devil got in our way. We couldn't see it. Wrong tree, wrong tree, wrong tree. Wrong place, wrong church, wrong job. God says, go this way. Amen?
Amen?
That's where the blessing is. Blessing is where God says to go.
Amen.
Do what God says do.
That's true.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with you. What does it take to please the Lord?
Faith.
What does it take to please the Lord?
Faith.
Faith. Faith can be heard. Faith can be seen. Amen? That's the right answer. Y'all passed the test. Still got a few more minutes in class, though. One more correct answer and we might let you go. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that first he is God.
Yes.
There is a God.
Yes.
And it ain't you.
It's
Jehovah. He's in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He sent His Son, Jesus, to the earth to redeem mankind that was lost in their sin and trespasses. And He gave His life freely so that I could believe that blood that was shed, and not He didn't stay in the grave, but He rose on the third day. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He lived for you, died for you, and rose for you, you're saved. You're born again. You're a different person. You're a new creation. That's all you got to do to believe. Well, you didn't say you got to repent your sin. No, Jesus said, if you believe that and let me come in and be your Savior, you don't have to confess your sins because He's already delivered you from them.
Yes.
The devil wants you to confess this, confess that, confess that. Once you receive Jesus, you start confessing how good Jesus is.
Yes.
And you'll forget about how bad you were or how bad that person that treated you bad is. See, it's receiving Jesus. He does all the Holy Spirit, that's His ministry. It's to show you how good you are now and how loved you are by God. You're not supposed to remember your past sins. They're in the sea of unforgetfulness. If you keep remembering your sins, you'll never get to your future. And others that are trying to get there, they need your help. I can't help them if I'm stuck in my past. Your past never sees your future. First, you got to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. He's not a taker. He's a giver. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I'm going to go to church Sunday. If God doesn't meet my need, I'm done. God's not obligated to meet that request. He says those that diligently seek Me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Diligently, diligently. You're going to be rewarded.
Amen.
You're going to be rewarded. Now, I'm not saying if you come to church Sunday, but you know, you didn't know God and he's not going to reveal himself, but the Bible says a rewarder. Help me, rewarder. That's more than one reward, right? He'll reward you with salvation if you come and ask him. But if you don't continue to seek him, he's not obligated to reward you abundantly here on this earth. Man, you got to stay after Jesus. Stay after the things of God because the devil wants to steal them from you. Keep. Get it. You got blessed. Well, I want another blessing. I need something bigger than that. God's got big things he wants to do through me. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Now I need to increase my faith. The Bible says, increase your tents. Increase your borders. God's big. Amen. Take the Word of God to the world. If you were pastoring and God told that to you and you're doing all these things and you're doing the DVDs and you're printing all these things, you're like, what? Whew, man, I can't do all this, Lord. He said, I know you can't. I can. You just believe me for it and I'll send you all the people. I'll send you all the people that's going to help get all the material and the ministries. But you're going to take the Word of God. That's the vision. Take my Word to the world. The world can be your neighbor. Is your neighbor. That's your, whoever's nearby, that's your neighbor. That's the world. Even if they know Jesus, they still need to know the riches of this glory that's in the saints. The riches, there's riches on the inside of us. I'm still learning. We don't know, we'll never know it all. But I've learned, I know a lot more than I used to know 15 years ago. Amen. I'm going to say this, and I don't think anybody has a problem here, but this is God's Word, inspired by God. Not everything in here is the truth.
That's right.
Go to the book of Job.
Yes, yes, yes.
God, Jesus is truth, but see, you've got to read it in the context.
That's right.
There were some things that were said about God that wasn't true.
That's right.
Now, what is written here, truly, it has been inspired and written by men moved on by the Holy Ghost, inspired, put in this word, yeah. But you've got to read and study in here and find out, well,
yeah.
Go to the end of the book.
Yeah.
Read the end of that. Don't just pick you out of Scripture and say, well, man, there we go. I can act on, no. Rightly divide the Word. Paul told Timothy, the only way you're going to rightly divide is study. Old Testament, New Testament, and remember, you got to work them together. What is God saying here? Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. New Testament, Jesus has been, the plan of God has been revealed clearly for me to see it through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Not through the law, but through the Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
I don't have to be a theologian to understand all this. I just got to be a believer that's hungry for this.
Amen.
Hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
Hungry. Look at Stephen. He waited on tables. He was the first martyr. Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Stood before those religious theologians and his face became bright as an angel. The glory of God was upon him.
Yes.
Don't think you got to be in, you got to go to seminary for 10, 15 years before you can start telling people about Jesus.
Right.
Now, once you get born again, you got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He knows Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And he wants to reveal him to you and to me.
Yes.
Praise God. Now, I need a faith clock. I need a faith clock back here. Y'all still okay? You comfortable?
Yeah,
cool.
Right.
Need to get up and stretch a little bit.
Bless.
I ain't got but three more pages. Just kidding. Just kidding. Faith. We're talking about faith. When a man's ways please the Lord, when a man is in faith, you're pleasing God.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you're not going to mess up, but just get back in faith.
Yeah.
In faith.
Yeah.
By faith, Enoch was translated and he never saw death. And was not found. God found him. Faith found him. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro looking. God's got eyes. Yeah, and he's looking. He's looking for faith.
Amen.
He's looking for faith so he can pour his power upon somebody. Enoch was translated, for he had this testimony. He pleased God. Take me, Jesus. You know, just get in faith. You know, he might take you, he might not. When I'm talking about take you, I mean translate. He took Enoch. There might not be another one. But when he took Enoch, it was good. But he's got to come back. Enoch's going to come back. Remember in the book of Revelation?
Yeah.
He's going to give a testimony. He's going to give a testimony of a lot of things, of the ungodly here on the earth. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, rain, never seen it, he moved with fear, respect. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, we doing it, family. See, he got his old family together and they built an ark, a boat, big boat. They actually built a replica out there somewhere. I think somebody's went out there and seen it. I'm not sure who it was. Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, or Kentucky. There's a big boat out there. Is it going to flood again? Why not? They built a big ark out there. We got some teachers in here. You got some people that know the word. God said, I'll never flood the earth again. All right. That settles that, right? You'll help a lot of people out there when it starts raining and flooding. Oh, God, he's flooding the earth again. Ain't going to happen. Might be a flood in your community, but he ain't going to flood this earth with water again. He can't. He can't lie. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receiving an inheritance, after he went out, after he went on vacation, he came back, he received an inheritance, went out not knowing, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went, for he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Never saw that city here on the earth, but he's in it now. Amen? But he gave us a vision of it for us. And by faith, he went out looking for it. So just go by faith. Go looking for what God's told you can see, you can have. Amen? Amen? And you shall have it. That's what faith does. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She was barren. But by faith, God said, you're going to have a baby. And she did. Amen? Amen? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith he did that. He could have stayed in his comfort zone. Could have stayed there. Rich man. Second son of Pharaoh. Adopted son. He wasn't the born son. He said, no. God's got something better. Actually, there's people that need me out here. See, they need deliverance. It wasn't about Moses. It was about God's people in whole. The whole plan. Amen. There's picture's bigger than what we can see. What God's calling you to do, right? There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan. Don't get caught up in the little things that I'm not getting nothing done because the devil hits me with this a lot. You're not doing nothing. You're not accomplishing nothing. But I'm not. You got to shut that voice out. Yeah. Little things you do for the kingdom, God's able to make them multiply. Yeah. Yeah. You give a cup of water to a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive that prophet's reward. That's what God says. He rewards somebody that puts water up here. Who brings the water in here? Look for God to reward you.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Everything you do for the kingdom matters. Amen. Everything. Yes. It matters. Amen. You got to believe that by faith. What I'm doing by faith, it matters. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Amen. I can remember singing some of those songs in school. We need to sing some of those songs again. We need to get God's word back in school.
Yes.
He's got the whole world in his hands. I remember singing that in high school. Not high school. Elementary school. I didn't know who I was singing to, but God did. He knew I'd be standing here one day. He took all those words, and by faith, when I reached out, they got in my heart. I got born again. All these things, all these people, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. See, all those words, Jesus was prophesied over 2,000 years, 4,000 years. And then one day he was fully manifested. Emmanuel, God with us. He actually came into this earth physically.
Amen.
There was 4,000 years, prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah prophesying all that, never saw it, but by faith believed it. And we get to bask in that, those after Jesus. But they're going to be rewarded too. Jesus is coming back with rewards, not just for us, with everybody that's been in this plan. And then we're going to have eternal life. Man, there's so much that we're going to, man, it pays to serve God. Dividends, it pays double dividends. If you want double down dividends, I don't know what, it pays to serve God. Thank you, Jesus. When a man's pleased the Lord, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. Who wants to have their enemies be at peace with them? Yes. The greatest example I think of this is when it's King David and Solomon. You know, think about that. Think about David. He was anointed to be king. Saul got jealous. There's that spirit of jealousy, envy. And then there's every work of evil. He tried to kill David. All those years, David would not touch that anointing. Because he believed something bigger than Saul. He believed he was anointed by God. But by faith, he said, God raises men up and God brings them down. And David said, I will not touch him. And then David, he received, became king. He fought battle after battle after battle. And he needed to. He had to. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was a warrior. There's prayer warriors in this place. You know, we don't get on our horses and ride and fight. You know, we still have military, but it's a different day, different battle, different strategy, but same God. We can fight that battle in our prayer closet with our words, with the Holy Ghost. But then there's others that's going to take what we pray, and they're going out there on the battlefield. Our men and women in the military, cover them with your prayers. Always keep them in prayer because you are making a difference in that battle. Amen. Amen. They're hearing, move out of this foxhole, move out of there. The Holy Ghost, they're answering, God's answering your prayer. Mercy and grace out there. Amen. You make a difference. But Solomon, when he came in, the Bible says there was peace all around him. Of what David did. See, because David was out there fighting for what he believed in. He was fighting for his generation. He was fighting for that son that he never saw got birth through Bathsheba. God gave him Solomon. And there was peace. Maybe not peace in David's family, but Solomon saw peace from his enemies. Amen. It was a promise from God. Promise from God. Not only did he have peace, Solomon had a lot of riches. Now he went through a lot of stuff. We know how it ended up. But God was faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that our whole lot in life is to please you. Our aim is to please you. And it takes faith to do that. So, Father, we just thank you right now for your word, for your promises. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your ministry right now, that you are ministering to people in this place. Your word is going to be first place in their life, and you're going to manifest your power to them in areas in their life right now, Lord. There's visions, Lord, that are yet to come to pass. And I just speak life. We resurrection power to those visions right now. Yes. I speak to darkness right now. I command darkness to leave, for the eyes of anybody right now that are being covered because of the God of this world, we renounce that darkness right now. Because in the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he translates us from darkness into his glorious, marvelous light. So I release faith right now for your eyes to be opened up to see Jesus for who he truly is. The love that was manifested here on this earth is still working in this earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that to that person, to these people right now, in Jesus' name. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're listening to me today and you've never made that commitment to Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior, I would ask you right now to just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be my Lord. And all you got to do is believe the words I just said and just receive Him into your life, and He'll come in right now, and He'll change you by the power of His Holy Spirit.